You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arne Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I'm so excited that you have joined me on today, and I am excited about what God is going to do in and through your life. You are in for a blessing on today. Today, we're going to be talking about the first miracle. We're going to be looking over at Acts chapter number 3, verses number 1 through 10. And our focus is going to be around the fact that the first miracle set a pattern for the church. In the church, there are always dedicated men and women ready to be used of God in a miraculous way. With his power, God meets the need of people. And so I know that you're probably one that is waiting and desiring to be used by God, ready to be used by God. And God wants to bless you today because he is going to use your life to bring forth some great things in the lives of others. So as we talk today, we're going to be talking about various aspects about miracles. First, we're going to be looking at the promise of miracles. Then we're going to look at greater things, turning into the voice of the Father and the power of God. Then we're going to look at the prelude or what happened at the beginning of or before a miracle even take place. We're going to look at the importance of being dedicated, going to prayer, and a man's needs being met or a person's needs being met. And then the performance of the miracle and how the apostle gave up what they had and the man raised up and walked in a miraculous witness for the church. And so those are the things that we're going to be looking at on today. And I pray that your faith will be quickened and empowered today as you receive the word of the Lord on today, because guess what? God is going to bless you. And so as you grab your Bible, we are going to look at Acts chapter number 3, verses number 1 through verse number 10. It reads on this line. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took Peter by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement for at that which had happened unto him. So far, the reading of the scripture. Now, let's take a look at this passage of scripture, because this is what our talk will be centered around on today. It is in both in the ministry of Jesus and throughout the book of Acts that God miraculously met both physical and spiritual needs. From the day of Pentecost forward, reference to signs and wonders are common as we read through the scripture of the ministry of the apostles. We can recognize that God was doing a profound thing, meeting the needs of his people. And so it is today, Radio Land, that God wants to do the exact same thing throughout the land, a miracle meeting the needs of his people and those that sit in darkness, bringing them into the marvelous light, giving them revelation and understanding, and allowing them to come into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It said the miracles seen in the early church were not intended to stop with the passing of the first generation believers. God's desire to work through all of his people, his Christians, children of God, for they are members of his body, the church. And it's through his body on the earth he reaches people at the level of their needs, both spiritually and as well as both physically. As he did through the first believer in the book of Acts, Jesus still ministered to the needs of people in a miraculous way. In this lesson or this talk today, we're going to examine briefly the teaching of the scriptures concerning signs and wonders among God's people. Isn't that just an awesome thing that we can see the signs and the wonders of God among his people? And that is just such an awesome thing. God is still yet performing miracles. God is still yet opening doors. God is still yet making ways out of no way. God is still yet on the throne and working things out for our good. And so let's look here. We want to look at the promise of miracles. And also, the first point we're going to look at is greater things. The scripture said over in John 14 and 12, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." We find that over in John chapter 14 and verse number 12. Jesus' ministry on earth was miraculous. He caused the lame to walk again, the blind eyes to open, the deaf ears to hear, the dead to live again, and those bound by Satan to be set free. His ministry captured the attention of the multitude as he compassionately healed and delivered them. They witnessed Jesus accomplishing what God could do, and they listened to what he had to say. His disciple heard Jesus make a startling promise to them, as well as to all who would follow him. Let's take a look over here at another scripture in John 14, verses 10 through 14. And the scripture reads on this line, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, isn't that a wonderful promise that God has given unto the people of God? He said, greater works shall we do. I shared my testimony on the one of the talk shows several months ago, in regards about a miraculous thing of God raising my husband up when he was fighting for his life. And I seen God miraculously raise my husband up and life come back into him. I stand today or share today unequivocally with great boldness and confidence to tell Radio Land, the children of God, the people of God, those that are hearing, that God is still sitting on the throne, and that same power that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ is still yet available unto God's people, all those that will believe, all those that will have a heart to turn to God. That still miraculous power is available unto the church today. Can you shout hallelujah? Glory be unto God. Shayalabo. Jesus stated clearly that those who follow him can be used to do the miraculous. How is this possible then? Jesus said that believers who would do the work that I do, which indicates a presence tense. In other words, believers will make themselves available to do whatever the Lord wants to do through them, for the Lord works through his church. Jesus went on to say that they will also do greater works than these, by which he referred to the works that he had been doing up to that point in time. The word greater does not mean that the believers themselves will do bigger or better work than Jesus did in the earth in his earthly ministry. However, we are the representatives of Christ. We are his ambassadors on earth. And whatever he is doing at a specific time will be done through his church. This is the only possible as we are sensitive to what the Lord is doing and to what he wants to do and respond obediently as he directs us. And that's key, children of God. We must respond obediently unto what God is directing us to do as the church. We cannot even have our own agenda, but we must fall on our face. We must cry out unto God and say, Lord, what is the hour? What is you calling the church to do at this moment and hour? And we position ourselves in that manner to be able to carry out, execute, and do your blessed will at this time and season that you have already ordained before the foundation of this world. Come on and shout hallelujah. I know it's right. It may be tight, but it's right anyway. That we must be about our Father's business and line our life up with the precious things of God. He wants also to direct his will through us. Knowing the will of God is a key to miraculous ministry, the miraculous ministry of Jesus through us. Jesus, look at this. Jesus knew the will of his Father. And that's why we as children of God, we must take time out to know the will of our Father, our Heavenly Father. We must know his will, amen, for our life. Every person for whom Jesus prayed had this need met. Because Jesus never attempted anything by human power. He saw perfectly into the realm of the Spirit and did only what his Father showed him to do. That still insight is still available to the church. If we will seek him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, then will we be found. He will be found of us. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I feel the power of God right now, even on this airway and even through this particular lesson, that God is raising up your faith to believe God to do the work and the will of the Lord. John 5. Verse number 19 through 20 reads on this line, then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also does the Father, the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself do. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Okay, now let's look at another point. We just finished talking about the greater things. Now, this is going to be key, this next point, and I want you to write it down because I want you to get it in your spirit. I want you to get these points so because you are seeking to do greater things for God. And these next 6 points that I'm going to give you in just a moment is going to be very key as you move forward in the things of God. Now, let's look here. We're going to be looking at turning into the voice of the Father. I'm going to read a scenario here. It said, one man wrote of the frustration of trying to tune into a weak radio signal. He said, I have been in my car with no companionship but a radio. It never seems to fail in these times that just as soon as I tune into something worth listening to, and I get interested in what is being said, the voice begins to break up with static. The station signal becomes mixed with the broadcast signal of two or three other stations all at the same time. Usually that means I'm getting too far away from the original point of the signal I'm trying to receive. So when it's starting to get hard to hear from God and to feel God moving in your life, then perhaps you're getting away from the original, getting away from the original point of the signal, which is God. And you need to come back and come closer unto God. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. So we must draw nigh unto God. It's our responsibility to draw nigh unto God. What does that mean? That means that I have to create time or carve out time or take time to spend time with God, reading the word. And we'll talk about those six steps in just a moment, but if the responsibility rests upon us. Now let's take a look here. It says, hearing from God and tuning in to what he wants to tell us is not an impossible or terrible complicated pursuit. It's a matter of establishing a relationship. It does not matter. It's not a matter of seeking the power of God, but it's a matter of seeking God himself. See the key there. To seek to gain the power of God is a frustrating exercise in futility. But to seek God himself and building a lifelong relationship with him is the key to enjoying a full and a happy life of blessings from the Lord. Now, so that's what we want to be in the pursuit of. Not in pursuit of the miracles, not in pursuit of the wonders, but the Bible says signs and wonders will follow them. And so what we must be in pursuit of is in being in pursuit of God. And everything else is going to follow after we become being pursuers of God and what God is requiring, what God is desiring for his people to be in relationship. Being in relationship with God. Can you shout hallelujah? Establishing a relationship, God, it is a process. We will examine, as I stated, the six basic steps involved in establishing a relationship with God and growing spiritually in him, amen, and maturing in God and growing in him. Let's look at number one of the first things. In Matthew, it is prayer. The first point we want to write down is prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gave his disciple a pattern for daily prayer in what we often call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus cautioned his hearers to not to push prayer aside or become consumed by the cares of this life. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 6, verses number 19 and 34. How often the believers pray and never seem to get beyond a personal request for assistance. Jesus admonished his disciples, saying, therefore, take no thought of saying what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here's the key, child of God, that is so crucial, that where we have to get back to this place and to this point. Yes, we won't need a car, we may need a house and things, but God is saying, take no thought on what you should eat and what you should wear and what you should drink. But this is what he said I want to put the greatest emphasis on. And we as children of God, we got to get back to this point and realign our lives. Like they said, I hear all say we need to go back to the old landmark. Now, the old landmark is this here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, do you see the principle there? What we have done, we have gotten the cart before the horse. We're seeking the things, but we're not seeking the righteousness of God and God's kingdom first. And so God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Did you get up this morning and seek out the kingdom of God? This is just a rhetorical question. Did you get up this morning and seek out the righteousness of God? Or did we get up this morning and begin to think, oh, I got this to do, that to do, I need this and I need that? So when we begin to reverse and flip the script in our mind, and get up in the morning and say, God, I seek your kingdom and your righteousness today. What is your righteousness? What would you have me to do? What do I need to do for the kingdom today? And as we begin to seek out the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, God said that I'm going to start adding. Now, that's when the adding comes. The multiplication and adding to our life. All these things will be what? Added unto us. So begin to reshift your mind and allow this paradigm shift to take place in your mind. Be seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And put a star by that every morning. How did that happen for me in my life? By consciously. Maybe you have to write a note down. Maybe you have to write a note and put it in on your mirror. So every time you look in the mirror when you wake up in the morning and things, you can say, I will seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness this morning. And then guess what? Things are going to be added because guess what? You aligned yourself with the covenant promise of God that is written in his word that he said, this is the vehicle. This is the way that I will bless you when you seek me first. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is concerned with our physical and material and spiritual needs, but the key to having these needs met is our unselfish seeking of his kingdom and his will. And so we are to first pray for those things which are spiritual matters. As we spend time praying in the Spirit, we should become attuned with the will of God. And you can read Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. And our minds are not consumed with our own selfish concern. Our thoughts turn towards the good of the whole body of Christ. Amen. In this framework, we pray for others, believers, other believers, other spiritual leaders, other missionaries that are out in the field. We pray for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying for it all. We seek to see the will of God being accomplished in the lives of all people. By beginning our prayer time with worship and by praying for the things that are unrelated to our own personal trial, we turn our attention away from ourselves and upon God and his kingdom. As we pray in the Spirit, we build up our faith in the Holy Ghost. We find that over Jew praying in the Holy Ghost, building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The result is that the rest of our prayer time is filled with faith rather than worries. Instead of focusing on our problem and becoming bogged down with worries and concerns from the cares of life, we pray in the Spirit and allowing God to impart his perspective into our understanding so that we can understand greater or what God is doing in our life as opposed to being led captivity into captivity through that circumstance and situation and not coming up under the power of that circumstance or situation, but praying in the Spirit so God can give us his perspective on the matter. Amen. Have you sought the mind of God concerning that matter that you are dealing with in your life right now? Go back to God. He'll give you a clearer understanding because sometimes we become glazing stocks and wondering why we're coming up under great attack, why this is happening. But God is doing far greater things in your life and through your life than you can even imagine in the spiritual world. We die daily that somebody else may live. We may be persecuted daily that somebody else may come to Christ. We don't know all, but in the spirit realm, God will reveal it unto him because we come not to do our own will, but that of the Father which has sent us. Amen. What a tremendous impact upon how our prayer will progress when we seek in the mind of God. Now, let's look at point number two. In establishing that relationship with God. Fasting. Fasting helps us to focus ourselves more intently on God. Through it, though it may not be enjoyable, nor is it a popular practice today, fasting is biblical and needed if we are to be strengthened spiritually. Moreover, some spiritual spiritual work is accomplished only by the joint effort of prayer and fasting. And we know the Bible said that some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And sometimes you got to pray some things and fast some things out even of your life, out of your family life, out of your, off of your finances and things, because some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Would it be so powerful to say, Lord, I'm just going to fast and pray, and whatever this attack on the finance, whatever this is coming up against my financial situation that perhaps have been going on for years, I will say, you can say, Lord, I'm going to take this time to fast and pray for whatever it is to come out, that I can get the insight that I need to be able to stand in that place where the Bible said that God give us the power to attain that wealth and things, so that you can move forward and accomplish the things that God has required or God wants to do in and through our life for the kingdom of God, that it will untie your hands, that it would unshackle the things, the blockage that come to block the streams and the flows of the river, of the resources that need to flow in and throughout our life. I believe in God for your miracle. God is doing something right now in your life, child of God. Go back and get the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Go back and get it if you did. Pick it back up and keep moving forward in the things of God. Now, let's look at another point here. This is some good stuff. I'm getting so excited about God and about what God is doing. Reading God's Word, the Bible. It is important that we read the Bible daily. While it is beneficial to read other books that will increase and add to our knowledge, God's Word is essential to our spiritual growth. Only in the Bible will we discover the eternal principle that gave abundant life. An important part of spiritual growth is feeding our mind with the sacred principle of God's Word. We must feed our mind and renew our mind daily. Each morning, get up. No, I'm not going to carry over all of that, but I'm going to renew my mind, because the Bible let us know that God's mercy are new every morning. So at 12:01, there is a deposit of new mercies in our life from the Lord. Amen. And so many times the enemy wants us to keep dragging things over and over and day after day and each day of our life. But no, yesterday is over. And now I stand and I choose to stand in the newness of life today, because I'm renewing my mind on today and keeping my mind stayed on Jesus, who he said he's going to keep me in perfect peace, who mine is what? There you go. Stayed on Jesus. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I feel you right there. Amen. A lot of bullshit. Now, let's look at point number four. Exhortation. This is another point, okay, that we have. It says, till I come, the scripture read over in Timothy 4:13, give attendance to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Who have you exhorted? Who have you built up today? Who have you encouraged? So we must recognize that God wants us to encourage and lift up our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and even those that don't know the Lord, that we can exhort their faith so much so that they can believe God and come into the kingdom and be saved and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized in that precious name of Jesus and filled up with the Holy Ghost, walking in the newness of life. And so God wants us to exhort people, to build them up. Don't you know that there's power of life and death in our time? And that same creative power can bring someone up, or it can tear someone down. And God wants us to exhort and build up our brothers and sisters. Every believer should do this to their brothers and their sisters to the best that they can, to encourage one another, children of God. In life, we all face times of discouragement and testing. What a joy it is when others are sensitive to our spiritual condition, are quick to speak a word of faith and to encourage to his people. So, children of God, when we're exhorting people, when we're encouraging people, we must consciously think in our mind daily that I'm going to exhort someone. I'm going to encourage someone. I'm going to build someone's faith. I'm going to build their courage to believe God in whatever situation that they may find them. Because we must recognize so many things, that negative things that comes against us, want us to speak about our complaints or murmur and complain and negatively. But God said no. God wants us to encourage and exhort. So someone brings you something about an individual. No, we're going to believe God for them. We're going to believe God that's going to work it out, that God is going to open the door, that God's going to give them courage to stand in the midst of trouble. So point number, the next point was exhortation. Now, let's look at another point we have. We've discovered all already four of them: prayer, fasting, reading the God's word daily, the Bible daily, and see, sometimes we read Christian books, but this means reading the Bible, taking time out, reading the word of God. It's good to read other commentaries or other writers and things, but God wants you or us to read his word daily. You may have read the Bible from the front to the back, but still yet, every time you read the Bible, you're going to find greater understanding and insight from God. The next one, the fourth thing, was exhortation. And now let's go to number five, point number five, doctrine or teaching. By teaching the scriptures to others, whether in Sunday school class or home Bible study, we employ that which we have learned through the study and prayer. Teaching is a blessing to students who receive it, but it also blesses the teacher by keeping him fresh in the scriptures. See 2 Timothy 2:15. Whether it's teaching, you may not be teaching Sunday school right now, but you can definitely be sitting your children down and teaching them what the word of the Lord is saying and things, and reading the scripture and things, teaching someone, maybe your neighbor. You can invite them over for coffee, invite them over for tea, invite them over for some dessert or dinner, and just share the word of God and things. There are people that are hungering for the word of God and to be in touch and in right relationship with God and to be saved and things. And so we have a great work to do, children of God. So teaching, sharing the scripture, and employing that which we learn, that keep us afresh and attuned in our mind. The next and the final one is consistency. The Bible have a great deal to say about the value of faithfulness and perseverance. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth, saying, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful," over in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Faithfulness builds stability in a Christian life. As he or she is faithful, one day at a time, they will discover that doing the will of God for a lifetime is not difficult at all. And what we must do is a day-by-day walk with the Lord our God. Amen. You may not see everything come to fruition right today, but it doesn't mean that it's not on its way. And you one day closer, 1 minute closer, 1 second closer to the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. So don't you dare give up. Now let's look at the power of God. When we receive a relationship with God, we receive spiritual power. The word power in Acts 1:8 is translated from the Greek word dunamis, which means, according to the Strong Greek dictionary, means miraculous power, unusual by implication, a miracle itself, ability, miraculous abundance, miraculous might and meaning. And so when we talk about that dunamis, that's what we're talking about, that miraculous power, that wonder-working power and things, that ability, the abundancy, that's what we're talking about. It's that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we do not receive the ability to perform miracles based upon our own desire. We do, however, receive the all-powerful, indwelling Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and the ability to hear God's voice, to know his will, and to function as his ambassador on the earth. Now, isn't that powerful? And I want to say that again. and things that when you receive the Holy Ghost, what you receive is that all-powerful indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and the ability to hear God's voice and to know God's will and to function as his ambassador on the earth. We become the channel through which and whom the power of God flow out to minister unto others. Can you shout hallelujah? Now let's look here at another point here that we was talking about that we was going to say is the dedication of the individual is a prelude to the miracle. The people of God who desire to please God and to make themselves available for his service. To beyond Sunday and the confines of the church building, meaning every day they're living. When people see them, when nobody else sees them. And a committed life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Every aspect of their life comes under the influence of their relationship with God. They're actually living up under the auspices of the Holy Ghost, of the influences of God. God, influence our lives. Let us live up under that auspices and things up under the influences of God's life. Amen. No part of their life is hidden from God. No part is off limit to his guidance and influence. As life experience proves God's faithfulness, they continue to live faithfully, dedicating themselves to God's purpose and will, and grow in their dedication to him. Peter and John dedicated themselves to God and to his church, and their personal sacrifices encouraged the believers as they just were led them in the ways of God. We discover some key principles of their greatness in the writing of the Apostle Peter in his first epistle. When he shared valuable insight into the process which God used to strengthen and purify a person's dedication and relationship with him. First Peter, it states on this, 1 Peter 6:7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be, ye are in heaviness, though manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at that. It's that when a believer, a child of God, faithfully faced trouble and trials in life, their faith is strengthened and their life bring forth praise, honor, and glory unto God. God does not leave him of strength and who have called us into his glorious, into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Now, let's take a look real briefly at that. This is key for the children of God. There is a progress that God is doing in your life that even when you're going through your tests and your trials and your tribulation, and this is where the adversary overthrows, this is where the children of God sometimes get overthrown in their test and trial. You must recognize that God is doing something far greater in your life than you can imagine. Other than even in the midst of all of that chaos, all of that heady that's going on in your life, all that trouble and the circumstance, God is doing something far greater, and not to overthrow you and not for you to backslide or for you to give up. But what is happening that is going on in the spiritual realm is that, number one, God is perfecting you, God is establishing you, God is strengthening you and God is settling you. And we can see in this generation that that commitment, that follow through, staying in the house of God, people are being greatly challenged because they are not allowing God to perfect them, to establish them, to strengthen them, and to settle them. We see a lot of church hopping from church to church to church. Some are not even going to church and things. But don't you know, child of God, God is trying to get you to a place where that you are settled in Him. You may say you have a made-up mind. You're going to serve God. But are you settled? Are you established? Are that perfection that God is wanting to do is taking place in your life? Those things are key for the children of God. Peter did not write the epistle which bear his name from untested theory, but from his own life experience. Jesus warned him that his faith would be severely tested, but he also assured him of the strength from God and encouraged him to be a source of strength to others. Luke 22:31-35. Like the testing of Job, God allowed the devil to shake Peter until all that remained was his dedication to God. And sometimes we're being shaken, and the only thing that we have left is our dedication unto God. You may have lost it all, but guess what? You still have your dedication unto God, because even when you lose it all, we must remember, child of God, God is the creator. He's the Jesus Christ is our redeemer. He's able to redeem everything. Every single thing that you have lost, because you remain dedicated to God in the midst of that trial. So don't get caught up on what's happening or what you're losing, but get caught up and hold on to your dedication in God. God is able to redeem. Jesus Christ is our Christ, our Redeemer. He's redeemed everything. God told me, he said, Helen, tell my people, tell them that, yes, I redeem your soul, but I'm not only, I don't stop there. I'm able to redeem everything that was stolen from the children of God. Christ is our Redeemer. Can you shout hallelujah? As Jesus has warned him, Peter denied the Lord three times during the 10th hour after the soldier took Christ away to be mocked and beaten. Peter said, thereby, and denied being with Jesus' disciple and even that he knew Christ. He denied the one whom he had drawn a sword to protect him only hours before. Though Peter failed the Lord miserably, his faith ultimately found strength in the compassionate and forgiveness of Christ. And because of the testing of his own faith, he was better able to minister to others and to strengthen him. Now, let's look over these next few minutes the benefit of our tribulation. Because a lot of times the adversary will say, well, why are we going through this? Why is this happening? No, well, you want to see the benefit of what you're going through. And that's what we're going to look at in our closing here. Peter taught us both by precept and by example that tribulation we encounter in our life can benefit us spiritually in three specific significant ways. Number one, trials move us towards the perfection, strengthening weak areas of our life. So number one, trial is going to move us towards perfection. It's going to strengthen us in our weak areas of our life. Not only is perfection a state of being, but also the process of getting to that place. In the biblical definition of the word, to be perfect is to be complete. As Christians mature in Christ, they continually grow towards a perfect or a complete state spiritually. Yet in Christ's eyes, they are in the state of perfection even as they grow in his will. So our trials perfect us. They cause us to recognize our dependency upon Jesus Christ and promote spiritual growth. Through our trials, we see our need to be consistent in prayer and to seek God every day. That's number one, key one. Number two, trials establish Christians in the faith. They become sincerely settled in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:1, the word established translates from the Greek word stencil, of which Strong Concordance gives us a definition as to turn resolvedly into a certain direction. And so that means that we're turning to a certain direction, being established, being securely settled in God. Number three, trials severe serve to settle the Christian or to set him upon a sure foundation. So again, our trials serve to settle us and to set us upon a sure foundation. The foundation of Christian faith is Jesus Christ. And since trials reveal our great need for Christ's assistance, they also anchor us to a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They cause us to anchor in, to settle in, to be stabled in Christ. Our trials help us to establish us in prayer, strengthen our faith through experiences, and lay a foundation of assurance and reliance upon God. All of these things work together to equip us as children of God, preparing us to minister effectively by the Spirit to the lost and one another. And that's why we say we are blessed assurance. And they was able to say that because, guess what? They was assured they had been anchored in God and in the things of God. The Apostle Paul and Peter and John had prepared themselves to be used of God in a miraculous way, dedicating their lives to God. And God trusted them not only for personal credit, but he trusted them because their life was dedicated to do the work of God. And God entrusted them the miraculous work of the Spirit as they was being used by God. He knew that they would respond with humility and praise to God, giving him all the glory and the honor back unto God. And because God was able to entrust them with their power. And we know the Bible said that from that lesson over in the book of Acts, when John and Peter and with the layman, that John and Peter, they practiced a regularly scheduled daily prayer time. Peter and John, they share their prayer time together. They touched and agree. Peter and John, they also had a regular place of prayer. And that's why it's key for us to even to go to corporate prayer, to pray, to sometimes to be in prayer together with touching and agreeing with someone, praying together. Because God is able to perform those miracles in the life. Let's look here at Acts 3 and 2. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called the Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered to the temple. And the Bible does not tell us the age of this person, the lame man that was at the gates of Beautiful, nor does it say how long he had been begging outside the temple. However, this man had been lame from the birth. But however, Peter and John, through faith in the name, perfect faith in the name of Jesus, through the perfect soundness of their faith, they raised that man up, and that man began to leap and praise God. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, he offered unto the man, to the lame man, that which he had. And what he had was the name of Jesus, the miraculous power that was in that name. He offered it, and he commanded that man and reached out and lift that man up in the name of Jesus. The Bible said he received strength immediately in his ankle and began to leap and praise God because he had faith in that name. And we as children of God, we must have faith in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And that's how that man, that lame man, began to walk. Peter exercised his faith and his courage and his sensitivity to the Holy Ghost from the beginning of his relationship with God. It would seem that Peter desired to do what God wanted him to do. When other disciples hesitated and was nervous, he got out of the boat and walked on the water, the Bible said Peter did. The Lord knew that in Peter he had a disciple who would act instantly in a faithful obedience. Peter did not allow fear to sway him from following God's leading, but with faith in God, he dedicated and declared healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And the lame man not only stood up, but he also walked and leaped. As human, we make the mistake sometimes, sometimes out of fear of failure and distraction from God's will and purpose. And when we learn, however, to listen to God and obey him, we will discover that our obedient faith in his divine will and purpose will accomplish wonders, even the seemingly impossible things. And I come to say, child of God, that same miracle power is being witnessed today. As I said at the earlier part of this talk today, that was the same faith that I had when I seen my husband laying on the floor in my office struggling for his life. I took my faith in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and the courage to look at death and tell death, take your hands off of my husband in the name of Jesus. And I declare and I decree life, ha, shalalabon, in the name of Jesus in his life. And that same hour, that self-same moment, I seen the life and death and things. I seen life come back into his life out of my own eyes. We have witnessed out of my own church that we miraculously seen my husband raise up. Even when the paramedics came to our church that same day and things, they began to ask my husband what happened. And my husband said, I went to sleep, and I'm just waking up, hallelujah. And we took them to the hospital, no signs of no abnormality. And he's still yet walking today, moving forth in ministry and then in the work and the things of God, even yet today, because of my faith in the name of Jesus and courage to look death in the face and administer the name of Jesus. And that miraculous power is still yet alive today and wanting to be manifested in your life, child of God. All you got to do is seek him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Go down in that precious name of Jesus. Take on the name of Jesus. Be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost so that all powerful work and power of the Holy Ghost that will be resident in your earthen temple, your earthen vessel, and you can speak forth that same and operate in that same miraculous, this power of the Holy Ghost. In order for the miracle to happen today, three elements must come together. Someone in need, a willing God, and a believing, willing person will all unite together. That's what happened to the lame man. Certainly had a need. And obviously, God was willing to heal him. But God needed a vessel through whom he could work. And Peter was that vessel. And so it is. You can be that same vessel that God can use even now. Peter had to have more than a professing faith. He had to act upon what he seemed to be the will of God at that moment. He was not concerned with what would happen if he made a mistake. He knew the voice of the Spirit within him, and he responded obediently, and he spoke with faith to the lame man to arise and walk in the name of Jesus, and the man was healed immediately. And so it is with the church. As we are direct result of one man being healed as Peter and John entered the temple, many people became believers when Peter preached to them. Howbeit, many of them, when they heard the word, believed, and the number of men of about 5,000 was saved. Several times, as recorded throughout the book of Acts, miracle attested the attention of people who, when they were willing to listen to the gospel, the result was the salvation of thousands of people. From an examination of the book of Acts, it is apparent that the miracle had a valid role in the confirmation of truth. They ministered the grace and the mercy of God to individuals in dire need physically, emotionally, and at the same time, they led individuals to salvation in the name of Jesus. In my closing, child of God, Jesus recognized that besides meeting the needs of hurting people, signs and wonders help to build the faith of the believers as well as unbelievers. John 20, verses 3, 30 and 31 state, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Satan, yes, he has counterfeit to the works of God's working power, and we can recognize that, but God's people should not worry about the counterfeits. As long as the people desire is to glorify God and to minister to others and will seek to do the will of God in all things, even the power of Satan cannot prevail against them. Your obedient faith in God's will bring God's miraculous power to work in the lives of others. The operation of spiritual gift in Christian in the people of God's life is a natural part of your spiritual life, and they are important tools in reaching out to a lost and dying world. Child of God, I pray that you will rise up today and do the work and the will of God. It's not you, nor it is your ability, but is your faith and obedience in the word of God and your total surrender unto God and the things of God. I remember the saints would say, surrender and surrender to God, and God will do the work. And so in my closing, I say unto you, Radio Land, we must surrender back to God, to the word of God, to prayer, to exhortating, and to fasting and praying, and to seeking to do the will of God, reading the word of God daily, and watch God do a miraculous work in your life. I pray that you take on the name of Jesus, that you go down in that name and be filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and God will do a wonder, miraculous work in and through your life. Remember, there was a need. God was willing, but he needed somebody that will be obedient to his voice and his will to perform that miracle. Will you be that one that will say yes unto God? Lord, here am I. I am willing. He takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things in and through your life. Why not you be the one to do and make yourself available unto God? So thank you, child of God, for allowing me to come into your home, your place of abode on today. And I pray, and I already know in my spirit, that you have been blessed through this section and that you are going to raise up and go back to prayer, get back into the word of God, exhort someone, encourage someone, be consistent in the things of God, and watch God bless your life in a profound way. Father, bless every one of the hearer. Raise them up to do your blessed will, O God, today. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name is my prayer. I want to say again, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your miracle. Go back and ask God. Go back and seek God. Go back and knock again. The Bible says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you, ask and you shall receive. So, child of God, in my closing, I want to say I thank God for our time today. I know God is going to bless you in a mighty, he's already blessed you, and he's blessing you right now. Just look around. My husband sings a song at our church saying, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And he always counting his blessings and naming them one by one. And so in my closing, I want you to know, child of God, that God loves you, and so do I. Go and visit our website at Shekinah, and that's spelled S-H-E-K-I-N-A-H, glorytabernacle.com. Visit our website. If you want a CD or any of our material or would like for us to come and be a part of your ministry, I would love to come. I love to work with women in whatever area that God has called us to. If you need us to come to your prayer session or your prayer breakfast to be a speaker, I would love to come and do that. That's an area of a gift that God has given unto us that we love to do, and I would love to come and share that with you and your women or your ministry. And just feel free to email us or give us a call and contact us, and we would love to come and be a part of your ministry. So may God bless you. Is my prayer, and that you'll forever do the work in the will of the Lord, and don't you ever come down or back up off of what God has called you to do. Go back, get your towel, wipe that tear out from up under your eyes, hitch up your girlfriend, and get up and go forward in the things of God. Pull yourself up. Encourage yourself in the Lord and watch God do a great and a mighty work in and through your life. I see it. I feel you got a blessing on his way. God said he rewards them who diligently seek him. And guess what? There's a reward with your name on it, and it's coming to you because of your diligence. May God bless you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.